It's a magnificent thing to know that you have someone on your side that has power to help you in the time of trouble. Imagine, if you were driving down the road a little quicker than you should have been driving, and the person that, when the lights make the blue flashing sound, not sound but sight, and your heart makes that thump, 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 thump sound, and you get a roar, and the person that pulls you over happens to be a friend, a real friend. And not just because you're a friend, the person's going to let you go, but when you explain your case, the person will give you a fair hearing, and if your reasoning is of such, they just warn you, look, this is the area that I patrol. When you have to go that fast, you need to leave earlier. Don't put me in this position. But I understand that you have to get to work and there was a traffic jam and you were late. Don't do it anymore. You feel that you're going to get to be heard because this is a friend. Unless you're one of those kind of people that don't respect authority, you just feel that that person should just let you go because they're your friend. A person that's really interested in being just may give you a chance because they believe your story and your extenuating circumstances. However, how much more we can call upon God? How much more when a family can call upon God to help them in the time of trouble? Well, in order to be able to call upon God, there are some prerequisites that need to be met for the family. We need to hear him call upon us, and then that puts us in the right position to call upon him. That's what we're going to talk about tonight in Leviticus chapter 23, as we've gone through these seven major days that God has set up. I've already stated them before. God gave the appointed times in Genesis 1:14. I shouldn't have to read it again, but I will mention it so that if someone wants to look at it, if they pick it up on the podcast, Genesis 1:14 said God gave the sun, the moon, the stars, and the lights in the heaven for times, for signs, and the word season is moed. That means his appointed time. That's the appointed dates that he set. This whole 23rd chapter of Leviticus is going into detail about it. So now we have moved through the first of the three moeds, or appointed times, which are in the early part of the spring. We've gone through Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Now we're moving into the last of the ones that the Lord has. And this one is going to start off with we call it the Feast of Trumpets. Some people call it Yom Teruah, not Yom. Yom is like yummy, yummy, yummy. Something tastes good. Yom, like comb. Yom Teruah. And if you will, let's start reading the Word of God in the 23rd verse, and let's get an introduction to what the Word of God is saying here.
And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying.
Isn't that pretty how she said Yahweh, call his name, interjecting back and forth where we see the Lord and saying Yahweh, calling his name. So we'll know it. So we'll be used to it. When you see that capital LORD, Dorian, that's Yahweh. And Yahweh spake to Moses, saying, what?
Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, holy convocation.
Do you notice that when the master speaks, it doesn't seem like he's allowing an individual to have a choice in the matter. And by him doing it that way, he's setting up, this is, remember when we were in the first chapter, and he said, these are my days. These are my appointed moed or moedim, saith Yahweh. Therefore, what we are looking at in the Word of God here, he's telling Moses, Moses, this is what needs to be done. And so Moses is going to be obedient to the Lord. And now, go ahead and read it again, and that 24th verse for me, please.
Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, And the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation.
What the Lord is saying here is that whatever this feast day, this moed, this appointed time, is of blowing the trumpet. But it's not just going to be a regular day. It's going to be a day that you're going to set aside for me. And in setting that day aside for me, it's going to be a Sabbath. It's going to be a blowing of the trumpet. And one of the things about that is sometimes when you see blowing and of trumpets, when you look behind the English, the word is going to be teruah. That is a loud noise. It can be a clapping of hands. It can be a blast of the trumpet. So it will depend on your context in some ways when you can determine if you're not looking behind the English. But it's going to be a loud noise, and we will see that this is a blowing of the trumpets. Now notice what he says. When he tells you to tell them that, he said it's at a particular month. It's the seventh month. It's the first day of the month. This one is a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing, a holy convocation. Come together and you're going to have an assembly. Please read some more, Anne, 25.
You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
Now, this is beautiful. And this is about all that you're going to see that it says about this in Leviticus. But if you do not remember that Leviticus, Exodus, Numbers run together, you'll miss out. Now, Deuteronomy, somebody say, why you didn't say Deuteronomy and Genesis run together? Well, there's a different time span. Genesis stops right there when it's talking about Joseph getting ready to die. Deuteronomy is when Moses is getting ready to die, and Moses will go back and recap all of the things that we're talking about. Now, why am I saying that? It's because we're going to have to do some Bible work tonight in order to understand what is going on here. It's the first day of the seventh month. That seventh month, God is using sevens a lot in here. This is going to be a blowing. It is going to be a Sabbath. And this is a special day. And the Word of God has picked this one out. You see, they always have the first moon. They blow the trumpet. But it's not listed here like that. This one is special. The seventh month, the first day of it, it's like what you could call a sabbatical month. We have a sabbatical day, the seventh day of the week. Now you see, have a sabbatical month. The Word of God will teach. We're going to get to a year of sabbatical years. As a matter of fact, we had seven Sabbaths when we did with the first fruits. Remember when we did the first fruit? We had the first fruit right there at Pentecost. There was seven Sabbaths. So when people say seven is a complete, it's something that the Lord used, it's true. And the Bible is full of that. So, Anne, if you will take me to Numbers chapter 10, and let's go to Numbers chapter 10, and let us get a better idea of what's going on these days, please. Because in Numbers chapter 10, we'll see that he's going to go through and explain how these things work in these particular days. That's Numbers 10. Verse 1.
And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeyings of the camp.
When I stated what I wanted to try to show tonight is that for the family to be able to call on God, they need to be able to have God to call on them. And I submit to you that we're going to see that these trumpets, the sound of trumpets, go back and forth, okay? Now it says, speak to that assembly, have them to make two trumpets of silver. Please read.
Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of assembly.
Notice, I don't want you to make it together out of different pieces. You know, like when they make trumpets now, and they have those little things you can do with your hands. When you do, I want it to be made out of one piece of silver. One thing he just said here, he said, I want you to make it, I want it for calling the assembly. If you want to write it down, when God wants to call the assembly together as king, you need to hear his call. If you want to be able him to hear you when you call, you need to hear his call. When he blows this trumpet that I had made, get up from what you're doing and come on. Number two, I want it blown when you journey from the camp. Because I'm going to tell you when to go. I'm going to tell you when to assemble. If you want God to hear from you as a family, you should be able to start hearing God when he calls you to come together and when he sends you out. It's good to come when God calls, Ann. But when he sends you out to do his work and you say, well, I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I just don't want to go. Well, in this particular case, that's what God is doing. Number three, please. 10:3 of Numbers.
And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Let the people know where they're to meet. If I call and I want them to come, they should know where they have to come to. Read.
And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee.
Now that's an amazing thing. I'm trying to teach you how to work with this. Now see, when we go to the New Testament, I know a lot of people every now and then they say, you know, they'll have controversy over tongues. And when I say tongues, I'm talking about speaking in tongues. And Paul uses an illustration to help the people to understand that when individuals speak in tongues and the individual does not understand what they're saying, that there's no interpreter, then people don't know what to do. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7. Here's what he says. And even the things without life, giving a sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? So he says, so likewise, except you utter by the tongues words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? You should be like one that speaks in the air. Now somebody might say, Tim, why did you read that? I'm trying to help you to understand. He just said, if they blow but one time, this is for the leaders to come. So if you get out there and go, just start blowing and blowing and blowing, people don't know what to do. I think it's magnificent that Paul uses the illustration of blowing the trumpet to let people know that when you're speaking or teaching, whatever, people should understand. So he draws back on what we have in what is called Torah, the part that people say, I don't like the Old Testament. Well, Paul surely liked it. Please read some more, Ann.
And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee.
Next.
When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward.
Now, when you blow a teruah, that's what it's called. Sometimes it's called a teruah. When you blow with a loud noise, when you blow with this loud noise, when you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. Suppose you don't blow right. He's telling Moses to let the people know, these are your signals. Now, when I was in the army, we could be doing anything we want to. But if that sound came up in the morning, we better get an attention. We would better get an attention. We could be doing something. We could be eating chow or whatever it is. But if that trumpet went, they call it taps, somebody has passed, and we would have to get in attention. But do you understand there were different sounds? Even men know how to do that. How much more that when God calls, should we respond? We want him to respond to us as a family. We should learn to respond to him as a family. And I'm showing that here, even in what we call the Old Testament, the Tanakh, God was training them how to hear from him. Not just to hear because I felt something or I was led. I'm telling you that there are times that I'm going to give you directive that you move. I'm not just your father as God. I'm also your king as God. I'm your commanding general as God. So when I say speak or when I say move, you do it. Give me some more, please, Anne. Verse 6.
When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey.
Now suppose the camp on the south side moved the first time. Look at the chaos. You got the one on the east side moving and the other one. Chaos. Please read.
They shall blow an alarm for their journeys.
Okay.
But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm.
You will blow, but you don't sound the alarm. This time that means you make a sound with it. And the word here, when it's called tick. It's like with a TQ, you can call it tequila. And it says you make it. It's a rejoicing sound. It can be done by the hands. It doesn't just have to be done with the trumpet. But in this case, it's being done with the trumpet. Don't make the alarm when you do it. There is a difference. Even if you don't fully understand the difference as we go through it, just understand that he's making a difference between the blowing and the alarm. Next verse.
And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generation.
What that means is it's going to be something that's, it's going to be a statute clearly communicated to you throughout your generations. Please read. And wait a minute, I want to say one other thing. If I get time to go through it, I will let you see that the Bible says even at what we consider to be the end of the world, the trumpets will be blown. The trumpets, the sounds will be made, and it will allow us to know, and it's going to be of such that even the dead will respond to the trump of God. This is not something that's new that comes up in the New Testament. It's not new. The Word of God shows that I set this out way before. Please read, Anne.
And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets.
Now notice, he went plural. He says, if you go to war, turn the volume down on that, please. If you go to war in the land against your enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow the alarm with the trumpets. And what happens then?
And you shall be remembered before the Lord your God. And you shall be saved from your enemies.
The word of God say, if you go to war and you have an issue with enemies, if you remember what I say, if you remember to blow the trumpets, in other words, it's not your might, it's mine. And it says, if you do that, then you will be remembered. But notice that word, it's zikra or zakar. If you remember to acknowledge me when you go to war, then I'll remember you. The family that wants God to hear them, they need to hear him. When God makes the alarm, when he makes the call out to us, we should hear. When God made the call out to them, they should hear. He says, when you go to war, blow. You're calling out to me. Blow. And I will remember. It's not that hard, is it? And then he gave a promise. He says, and you will be remembered before Yahweh, your Elohim, the Lord, your God, and be saved from your enemies. Verse 10, give me that one. That's so sweet.
Also in the day of your gladness.
Not just in the time when I call you. Not just in the time when I want you to gather together. Not just in the time of war. Not just in the time when it's time to do a feast or a new moon. We may get to those. He said, but in the day of your gladness. Please read.
And in your solemn days.
In your solemn days, the days that God set out. That word is moed. That's that moed word again. Here it's translated as solemn. So you can say feast days. Please read.
And in the beginnings of your month.
When you first see the sliver, a sliver of the moon. Your month doesn't start till you see the sliver of the moon. I'm calling you to understand when I say the months are. I'm calling you to understand what I say. You honor me with the first of that month. Go ahead.
You shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am Yahweh, your God.
Notice, you can look in this 10th verse, 10:10. It's easy to remember. Numbers 10:10. When you're glad, a victory. when you're glad, the Lord has given you something that's so great, a fantastical day, you blow it. In the feast days, you blow it. At the beginning of the moon, new moon, you blow it. You will blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings. You just don't make an offering. You blow it over the sacrifices of your peace offerings when you're getting ready to share a meal. Because when we went through the peace offerings, I believe it was in the third chapter of Leviticus, it didn't mention blowing the horns. But remember, these go together, Leviticus and Numbers, etc., that it may be a memorial before your God. Call out to me. Make the noise. If you have me, let me know. On the feast, let me know that you're honoring my days. You give an offering, blow it. People will know what's going on. I'm getting my honor. I would submit to you that this is God's doing this, and God has three times a year that he would have them to come. And if you will, you can go to Numbers chapter 29, and I'll go to Exodus, and I'll go slow. I forgot. I was told to slow it down. So I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 34, verse 23. And all I'm doing is going over something that we've read before, that there are three times a year that the Lord would have the people together. And is going to go to Numbers chapter 29. That's what we're going to be reading, because it's going to talk about what we're going to do. The reason that I'm reading this in Exodus chapter 34, verse 23 and 24, I want you to feel something. Thrice in the year, shall all your men, children, appear before me, the Lord your God, the God of Israel. And I will cast out the nations before thee. I will enlarge the borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land. And thou shalt go up and appear before Yahweh thy God thrice in the year. The only thing I wanted to show with this is you don't see anywhere in this where it's three times a year that they would have to blow the horn. But now we see that they would have to blow the horn. So it's not just people get to say, well, you know what, we're going to go tomorrow. Well, you know what, I think I might go the next day. When the horn blows, when the trumpet blows, God is calling out. They are to respond. So we can read these things now and kind of get an idea. At three times a year, the horn is blowing for you to move out, to go do what God wants you to do. I just thought I would throw that in there for free. Go ahead, and if you will, Numbers chapter 29, please.
And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work.
Now, do you see that here in Numbers, it's giving us a little more feed on what it's saying on that, what we read in Leviticus, where it says, on the first day of the seventh month, you will blow the trumpet, you'll have a holy convocation, no servile work, it's a Sabbath. But you say, that's it? Nothing else? Listen to how it's explained here. It'll give you a little more. Please read, Ann.
It is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you. And you shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto Yahweh. One young bullock, one ram, and seven lambs at the first year without blemish.
Notice. Now you see that you're not just blowing the horn and it's a Sabbath. You're making sacrifices to your king. You're bringing gifts to the king. You have a bull, you have a ram, and you have seven lambs, and they have no defects. Please read, Ann.
And their meat offering, flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals for a bullock, and 2/10 deals for a ram.
What I'll do is I'll read 3 through 4 in the Living, because it'll break it down in the measurements we use. It says, these must be accompanied by grain offerings. That's the meat offering that she read. Of choice flour moistened with oil. 6 quarts with the bull. 4 quarts with the ram. 2 quarts with each of the 7 lambs. 2 times 7 equals 14. So you're going to have 2 quarts with each lamb. Verse 5, Ann.
And 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you.
Do you all remember that the sin offering is the purification offering? The purification is to purify the temple, the altar, which represents the person. God knows when you come up in there who you have been and what you have been as people. So you got a purification offering that's being done. So it's not just blowing the horn. This is the day that you're coming, not only you're coming in festiveness, but you're coming in reverence to me. Please read.
Beside the burnt offering of the month, and his meat offerings, and the daily burnt offering, his meat offering.
The reason that he said besides the sacrifice of the month, because every new moon was an extra sacrifice. The month belonged to God. And what he would do is always show as a king that you honor me with the first, and that gives you an idea of what things can be like for you in the rest of the month. Please read.
And their drink offerings according unto their manner, for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto Yahweh.
I understand that somebody can look at that and say, I don't understand what the big deal is about the Feast of Trumpets. I can understand why somebody say, what is the big deal about the blowing of the horn? Why God want to set things apart? I'm suggesting that what God is doing is showing that this is a time that can be festive. This is a time that you can get your mind right with him. But this is the seventh month. The seventh month matters. The seventh year matters. The seventh day matters to God, because he set his pattern up in how he created the world. 6 days I worked, on the seventh I rested. So what I'm trying to do is focus in and helping us see that when God calls, we should listen. If we want God to listen when we call, that he's given, I'm going to show you some illustration where God used these trumpets so that when we see on the Feast of Trumpets, that these trumpets mean something important to him. So if you will, look at Joshua chapter 6, verse 4, and I want you to see how God uses these trumpets in being able to help the children of Israel know who he is. It's very important. Now, what happened here is that the people were finally getting ready to go into the land of promise. It had been 40 years that they had been in the wilderness. Their first major leader that they've had, Moses, is gone. He didn't get to make it to the promised land. Joshua is now in charge. And the amazing thing is, when you think about it, Joshua, which being another form of Yeshua, just like the Lord Jesus, that name, he is the one to take you in when other people fail. Now, here is the picture of him taking the people in to the promised land. And let's look and see what happens when he takes the people in to that which is promised. Verse 4.
And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns.
Now, I won't talk about when you read the book of the Revelation that you see that there are seven trumpets being blown. I won't talk about that right now, but I just will just throw it out there for you to say, Please read.
And the seventh day you shall compass the city seven times.
Seven, go ahead.
And the priest shall blow with the trumpets.
And the priest shall blow. They will make this loud noise with, the scripture says, the trumpets. Now, sometimes when they blow with the trumpets, that it can be the silver one. This one is the shofar. How do I know it's the shofar? I click on my computer, I go behind the English, and I see the word. It's not that I'm a genius. I just afforded myself and made myself buy what's necessary to understand God's word so that we can see that they use a ram horn. I'm going to give you this for free, Ann, because if I go and read it, it's going to take a long time. There's a tradition that the reason that they started using shofars like that is when in the Akedah, they call it the Akedah, when Isaac was offered and the ram was caught in the bush, that when the ram was sacrificed, that the horns were taken and shofars were made out of them. And that when they would blow that, that's where they would get the shofar from. Not that they never made another one, but this is a remembrance to God. Now, can I prove it? No. I can prove that a ram was caught. I cannot believe that the horns of that ram, when it was sacrificed, was not special to Abraham. That it would not have been special to Isaac. Here is the ram that saved my life. So this is saying that you're blowing the shofar. Please read verse 5.
And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn.
When they make the long blast, it's like that alarm that we talked about. Go ahead.
And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout.
Now, here's the thing. When they shout with the loud shout, You have two words for shout. The first one is when they shout, they make the noise. But that second shout, we're talking about, it's the same word that's used for Yom Teruah, or the Day of Trumpets. They're making a loud sound with their voice. So you have the trumpets making the sound, and you have the people making the sound. Not that they're going, we're talking about shouting. Remember, God has them to do this when they go to war. They go into war. Remember, we read in Numbers. I'm not going to go back and read it. When you go to war, you blow it. So God has told you what to do. You're blowing it, and he said, I will remember. Not only are the priests going to get to do it, you're going to get to do it. Everybody doesn't have a shofar. So in the day of gladness, at this particular time, you're yelling, you're making the noise, and God is getting ready to do his thing. Please read.
And the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him.
You know, when I read that, I just had to see if that word ascend is the same word Ola, the word that was used for the burnt sacrifice, or Ola, where you get the word Holocaust from. It's the same. The people, they're going to go up to the place, and what's going to happen is when you blow that last time with the ram's horn, that's the way that somebody say, well, how would I know if it's the shofar or if it's the regular trumpet? Well, when you read down and you see ram's horn, that should give you a clue that this is an animal's horn. They make it out of the horns that come off the top of the head. It says when you hear the sound of the trumpet, when you hear the sound that God is giving for a call, that's for you. Although you're calling him, it's still a call for you. You see how it works both ways? You're blowing like he said, but it's still a call for you to respond. Then you will shout with a great noise, with a great terura, and the wall will come and fall down, and the people will ascend up, and God's going to give them the victory, because we're not going to read all this in Joshua. The point that I want us to make here is that when we as people call upon God, we should have already been called upon by him, and we're responding. I would submit to you that God is showing, I believe, at this particular time and in this particular place, that often, in rejoicing, in believing in him, there's victory. I believe that. I believe if the people would have not shouted, we haven't seen a wall fall yet. I'll shout when I see it. Is that the way we normally do? Don't we normally feel like it's rejoicing time when the thing happens that we want? But not just at God's word. I believe with all my heart, if they wouldn't have made that teruah, that loud shout with their voice, they'd have not made it in. Well, the Bible talks about that Yeshua, our Lord, he's going to come with the trump of God at the last trump. And guess what? The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they're going to get to ascend up and go to a place that has been prepared for them. I may not get to read it tonight, but I'm definitely going to allude to it. I would submit to you that when we hear the call of God in our lives, that we should respond to him, and we can move into the place where he wants us to be. I don't want to stay on this a long time, but it's some more juice in this apple. And so what I'm going to do is put in the juice and pull a little out. There are times in our lives, just like in the lives of that family that was supposed to respond to God's call, that wasn't the only victory they were supposed to have. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the only obstacle they were supposed to have. That was the first major. They had all of the land of the Amorites to get. So what God is showing them, when you believe on me and when you respond to me, when I call and you call back and you go in with faith, then I will give you victory. I believe that somebody say, I can't quit doing this, or I can't quit doing that, or I got problem with this. Look, what did God say? Can you respond? Respond back to God. I will do it in spite of what I see and move forward. Yeah, that's what people say. Move forward. And you can ascend up to victory. And if you will, I don't want to beat that to death. I want to show that God did this a lot of places. I want us to look at Ehud. Ehud in Judges chapter 3 and 26. I want to show another time when God allowed the people to see that the trumpet is one of the ways that he would call out for them to do it, so that when we see the Feast of Trumpets as it is, and there's a lot of material that I have, some I will leave out, but then again, I'm going to give enough so that when I read in the days of Nehemiah, when they went through this day, we can taste it. In Judges chapter 3, verse 26, and if you will, read about Ehud for us.
And Ehud escaped while they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped unto Seir.
Now somebody said, what is Ehud? Why is he talking about Ehud? Well, the children of Israel, after they got that great victory of God, when the trumpets blew, they responded to God as a family, the family of Abraham, and God gave them the victory when they shouted back, and they went in, they later on forgot about God. And now the Moabites have come in and taken over them. The Moabites are actually their ancestral cousins from Lot. And so the Moabites have taken over them, and so they have a king. And so Ehud went in, and he had gone in and dealt with this man and put him to death. And it's the one that he stabbed in the stomach, and the dirt came out, King James called it.
Yeah.
Go back and read. I won't tell you the whole story. I want to leave something so that you can see that some good stuff in the Bible to read. But what happened in verse 27?
And it came to pass, when he was come, that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim.
He blew a shofar in the mountain of Ephraim. What it did is he had gone through and done his part. He had trusted God. He had locked the door when the man they thought had used the bathroom, but this man think he's going to get a gift, and he got stabbed in the stomach. And then he goes and blows the trumpet like God said when it's time for war. And how did Israel respond to God's call?
And the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them.
Isn't that amazing, though, when you look at it? It looks like he's just blowing the trumpet. It doesn't really look like God is summoning them, does it? But remember, that's what God said to do when you go to war. You blow it. You're blowing it for me. You are actually blowing it for me. You are summoning them for me, and they're to come. I will submit to you that if we get to Ezekiel, and I'm telling you so much in here, that sometime I just have to tell you, God is likened a man that will teach his word, and a prophet, as one that will sit up on the wall and blow the trumpet for him, so that the people will respond to the trumpet being blown, which are warnings from him when they get outside of his will. When the people respond to that, they are saved. Here is the picture in graphic ways to see it. Here he is. Here's time for victory. Respond. Please read, Anne. Verse 27 again.
Okay. And it came to pass, when he was come, that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim. And the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand.
Let's stop right there, because I want you to go to Judges chapter 6, and I want verse 34 and see the same thing happen with Gideon. The Lord delivered the Moabites. They what blew the trumpet. They responded to God's call as a family. When they responded to God's call, God responded to theirs. Somebody said, what was their call? Well, if you go and read the whole chapter, you will find out they were crying out to God in oppression, because the Moabites were putting a hurting on them because they had turned from God. The same people that say that God is so mean and so cruel in the Old Testament, they often don't realize that the people have done so much to God. They had turned their back on God, and here God has given them a way to get victory, but you still got to hear my call. That's what the trumpet was. Please read Judges 6, verse 34, please.
But the Spirit of Yahweh came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet.
That's all I want her to say right there, because I'm going to have her to go to chapter 7, verse 18, for the sake of time. I want you to see that Gideon is blowing the trumpet, not because he feels it, but because the Spirit of Yahweh came on him to blow a trumpet. What has happened now? They are having problems now with the Midianites. Remember when we went through the book of Judges? When we went through the book of Judges, it had gotten so bad that they would plant a crop and the Midianites would take it before they get to eat it. So twice in the year, you have your barley harvest and you have your wheat harvest, and they would come and take it. They would come and take the food. It got so bad that when they would try to thresh wheat, Gideon was threshing it in the place where you tread on the grapes, and he was afraid. Now the Spirit of the Lord has come upon him, and he's doing what? Blowing the trumpet. Take me to the 7th chapter of the Judges and the 18th verse, and let's see how the Word of God works.
When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon.
But time, take us down to verse 20.
And the three companies blew the trumpets, and break the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon.
When you see this passage, I listened to the Bible a lot, and when she was reading, I was actually listening to hear the rest of the story, but I forgot I'm supposed to be teaching it. So what happens is that Gideon was scared. He was going to have a lot of men to go to war with him, and God reduced it down to 300. So what God had them to do is take these lamp pictures, not pictures with people on it, but lamps, and they had trumpets. And in the nighttime, they went up there with the lights. Now imagine, this is war. People are out there at camp, and you see all these lights, and people are blowing the horn. And shofars are very loud. So they're blowing these horns, and the lights are up there making all that lights, and the people got afraid and ran away, and they got the victory. They got an impossible victory because the Spirit of the Lord came upon someone and gave them a plan. And in this particular case, he showed that, look, you don't even have to fight for me to make your enemies run. Respond to my call. The shofar is God's call. Not every time somebody blow a shofar, but I'm saying when it is the right time and you respond. You respond to the shofar and you act. And so God has said, when you blow it, I'll remember. When you go to war, I'll deliver. Is God keeping his word? So now when he says blow on the first of the month, then do you want that month to be safe? Do you want God's protection? Don't go skipping months blowing. Now we're saying at the 7th month, the first of the month is what is called Yom Teruah. Some people call it, it's called now Rosh Hashanah, which is the first of the year. However, in reading, I'm finding that this is when they use the same particular calendar that they learned in Babylon. So I'm really putting the focus in on what the Bible calls it. Now, I do want you to know that I understand that they call it Rosh Hashanah, the first of the year. But if we remember back in Exodus chapter 12, and check with that for me, chapter 12, verse 2, I know when the Bible said that would be the first of the year for those people. Because when they came out of Egypt, God gave them a calendar that he wanted them to have. Is that the verse I want? Read it for me, please.
This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of your year to you.
And it's not the 7th month. Please read it.
Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb.
That's enough. What do you mean that's enough, Tim? Because if you've been with us before, we know that he's talking about the Passover. We know the Passover starts at the month of Abib. We know they take the lamb on the 10th day and keep it to the 14th. So as long as I've had her to read that this is going to be the first month to you, and we can see on the calendar we went with in Leviticus that was the first month, then when you say that that is Rosh Hashanah, that is what the Jewish people keep as Rosh Hashanah, the first of the year, because the Babylonians kept two calendars. They had an agricultural and I believe it was a civil calendar that they kept. And this was the month that they called the first of the year. And so they amalgamated that. I was reading something that Ann was reading, and it actually explained it, I think, in the most easy manner, is that a lot of the Jewish people, until they came to America, they didn't do Hanukkah. We call it Hanukkah, but it's got a Hanukkah. They didn't give all these gifts and things away till they came to America, and they saw that it came around the same time of what people celebrate as Christmas. And so the young people like getting gifts, and so you kind of mix some of that in there, and they started getting all of these gifts. So So what I'm doing is I'm focusing on what we see in the scripture. Not that we don't know that they call it the Rosh Hashanah, the first of the year, but I want us to know what is it that God is doing here, the Feast of Trumpets. And if you will, I want to move from the Judges. I do have some more. I want us to see that the trumpets are blown in the time of victory, in the time of gladness. We're going to look at Jonathan's victory in 1 Samuel 13 and 3. And we're going to look at how Jonathan had got a victory for God. We then want to look at the anointing of a king. And then I'm going to start cutting back a little bit on what I have because time is moving. But I want us to see that the trumpets blowing is not just the time when you're in trouble, but it's also a time when God is going to give you victory. It's a time when God is calling out, and you should be calling out to him when you've had one. Now, if you will, read that for me in 1 Kings. First Samuel 13 and 3.
And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear."
Let the Hebrews hear what God has done. Let the Hebrews know that this is a time for summoning. Let me show you. Read the next verse.
And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had an abomination with the Philistines.
And if you read on, you'll find out about the war, what was going on, but the trumpet was blown. This was not just a religious thing. It's religious in the sense that God has said it, but the trumpet was the way of the people having signals of what was going on so that they would be able not only to understand, but to know how to respond. Whether to move out this way, to move out that way, time to go to war, time to be summoned to a feast, etc. I want you to see that they also used the trumpet at the time when they would anoint a king. If you will, look at 1 Kings chapter 1. Were you already there, Precious? Verse 32. Oh, go ahead and read that other verse.
And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal.
Thank you. They were called together to Saul after Gilgal. Thank you for covering when I move faster than I should. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 32 through 34. I want us to see at another time is the calling. And this is important, and I'll show you why. Please read.
The king David said, "Call me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." And they came before the king.
Let me tell you what's going on here. Here is someone trying to take charge over the kingdom that shouldn't. And so this man has gotten ready to be on the throne. I believe his name is Adonijah. And he wants to rule. But he is not whom God has chosen. And so what's really getting ready to happen, the wrong person is getting ready to take control whom God has not selected. And so King David is taken and he said, look, we need to put the person here whom God wants to be the leader of his people. Now, when he says, I want to have the person there who God is going to put as the leader of the people, he's going to lead the family. Read what David does.
The king also said unto them, "Take with you the servants of your Lord, and call Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule."
Let him ride on my mule. That means he's got, in other words, that's like somebody driving somebody else's car and wearing their clothes. Please read.
"And bring him down to Gihon, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him their king over Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And blow ye with the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon."
He is saying, at this time of crisis, when people don't know who to follow, God has allowed me to know who is going to be in charge. Get everything set up, put him on my mule, let him be anointed. We got the prophet and the priest. The priest is the one that acts for God for the atonement of the people. The prophet is the one that keeps people in order, and the king is the one that does administrative things. David is old now. He's sickly, and somebody's getting ready to usurp authority. Blow the alarm. Blow the trumpet. Call the people together so that they can hear from God, whom they are to respect. Blow the trumpet and say, "God save the king. Bless his name." Read that next verse, please.
"Then you shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead. And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah.
I'm going to read the next verse. If you will, go to 2 Chronicles 5 and 13. 2 Chronicles 5 and 13. And the last verse of what Ann was reading, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered and said, Amen. Yahweh, God of my Lord, the king, say so. In other words, whatever the king was saying, here is a man that was following God, and he is blowing their trumpet. Somebody say, I don't think it was an alarm. Trust me, if someone is going to usurp authority, that's a bad thing in that particular area. If you will, and I want you to see what happens with the trumpets in the time of joyfulness. Please read.
It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord.
I want us to understand that Solomon had built the temple. The same Solomon that was anointed king, God is allowing this man that is anointed king, whom God said that David, you cannot build my temple, but your son can. This man has been anointed. He's been placed in the position. They blew the trumpet. They did it. Now, here he's come going to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the temple where God's Spirit is going to dwell. And here comes the king, okay? Here comes the king. The king. Because when we talk about the Lord coming, here comes the king. And somebody say, Tim, are you calling the Ark of the Covenant the king? No, but I'm saying it represents the throne. Now, didn't he say that Solomon would sit on my throne? That means he's the king. The Ark of the Covenant represents the throne of God. And you're getting ready to bring it and place it in his magnificently wonderful house. And so it said it came to pass as the trumpeters were doing what? Let's go ahead and read the 13th verse again.
It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised Yahweh, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of Yahweh.
So we see at this particular time, the trumpet was blown to honor the king. The trumpet was blown. It was a time of gladness. It was a time of mirth. But it was a solemn occasion, because now we're talking about God's Spirit is being here. God had already instructed them, in the day of gladness, blow it. Although you're blowing it, it's still my call. Because you're not blowing it on your own, because you came up with it. I am king. I am God. You blow it. This is a time, if there's ever a time of gladness, this should be it. So the trumpet is now being blown. The people are singing. They are praising God. They're thanking him. They got cymbals. Everything is just so magnificent. And God's Spirit, the cloud comes and fills the house. If you read that 14th verse before we move on, it's just so awesome.
So that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God.
So the trumpets are used to show that there's an honor that God has called out. Here I am. You excited about it? You respond. Or can we as a family respond that God wants to be in our presence? Can we respond that God wants to be in us through his word? See, when God calls out to his word, do we respond? Do we get happy? Do we sing? Do we respond? Or it's like, man, some more of that Bible class. Look like to me, it's too many pages. Every time we turn around, Bible, Bible, Bible. Well, trust me, if you want to be with God, it's going to be a magnificent time all of the time. And I need you to read Jeremiah 6 and 17. I want us to hear the other side of the trumpet, please. Jeremiah 6 and 17. I want us to hear what the Lord has to say about the trumpet on the other side. We've talked about war. We've talked about assembling. We've talked about feast days. We've talked about anointing king. We've talked about victory. We've talked about responding to God when it's time to go. But here is the other side of this. I want us to see that the trumpet also means that there comes a time that we need to respond to God whenever something is wrong in our lives. 6 and 17, the prophet Jeremiah says what?
Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken.
I'm not going to read anymore. Then I'm going to let that ride. If you're familiar with the book of Jeremiah, and if you will go to Ezekiel 33:6. I want us to understand that God's warning is like a trumpet. The people at the particular time of Jeremiah, they were not following God anymore, and this is their last warning. They're going to be taken out of the land that God gave them to Joshua with the trumpet, with the shout of the trumpet, and the people had turned their back on God, and God is going to kick them out of the land because they didn't keep his Sabbath months. They did not keep his Sabbath years, and God said the land is going to get the rest. They would not listen to the trumpet, and the trumpet is called the warning of God. What does it say in Ezekiel 33:3-6, please? Ezekiel 33:3-6.
If when you seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people.
This is talking about when things are happening to you as a nation. You've been wicked, and the watchman is supposed to be watching out for you, to help you, to call you to whatever it is, to respond to me. And if he sees it and he blows the trumpet, in other words, he will, this time he's talking about blowing the shofar. He's giving a picture. Go ahead.
And warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head.
You know, sometimes, Ann, I'll say something and somebody might say, Tim, you explained it, but I don't really believe it. So give me a second. 33:1-2. Son of man, well, it said, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, speak to the children of Israel, the children of my people, and say to them, when I bring a sword upon the land, it's because they've been evil and they've done work, they've done wickedly. And I say to them, when I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for a watchman, and he seeth the sword come, and he blows the trumpet and warn the people, okay, warning the people of what God has brought, when God is getting ready to execute judgment, read 4 again.
Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head.
In other words, when I make the alarm, if they don't respond to my trumpet, although you say you put a watchman there, he's given a picture. When I have given a warning of what I'm about to do, what do you get this from, Tim? God gave a warning to Noah of what was getting ready to come. Noah listened. He gave a warning, and the people mocked Noah. And we know what happened to them because only 8 people lived through that flood. Read on, Ann.
He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul.
I submit to you that the trumpet is a magnificent thing. It gives a person a chance to save their wretched soul, to respond to God, the family. If they respond to God, then God will respond to him. But if they won't respond to God's warning, your blood is on your own self. In the words of that prophet, Mr. T, fool. Read.
But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand.
And so if the watchman does not do what he's supposed to, then he's going to be judged. And the problem with that is that the watchman did not give the alarm. He did not blow the trumpet. Now we're going to look at this last little piece right here, because I can't give you everything. Go to Nehemiah 8 for me. Nehemiah 8. I almost said Nehemiah because of that other guy. Nehemiah 8. I want us to look at the Feast of Trumpets. I want us to look at the Day of Trumpet and see how this thing is supposed to be. I've given illustrations of how the trumpets work for the family. God's calling, people responding. God giving victory to people responding. People seeing God's presence as king, they're responding. And I've also shown that the trumpet can be a day of warning. So here is the Feast of Trumpets given in Nehemiah 8. Please read.
And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate.
Now, most people know about the book of Nehemiah when he got a chance to come back and he's building the walls. Most churches will use that to talk when they want to raise money to build another church. They'll talk about Nehemiah building the wall. Well, the book of Nehemiah has more than building the wall in there. It has something in there when people respond to God's blowing of the trumpet and the people listen to what God has to say and God giving them victory. So they're at the water gate. Please read.
And they spoke unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which Yahweh had commanded to Israel.
Oh, so now these people asking Ezra to bring the Torah of Moses, which Yahweh had commanded. Verse 2.
And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. Upon the first day of the seventh month.
Upon what?
The first day of the seventh month.
What day are we talking about? We're talking about the first day of the seventh month, which is Yom Teruah. It is the day that this was supposed to take place, the blowing of the trumpets. And we see before he even start blowing the trumpet, what did he do? I know what he did do, but anyway, he took the book of Torah, the book of the law, which Moses had commanded, and the priest brought the Torah before the congregation, both men and women. He's brought the word of God that people don't want to hear. I submit to you that blowing the trumpet is the response to God so that God will respond to you. Please read that second verse one more time in your magnificent voice.
And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women.
Now, it is considered that Ezra is the one that compiled the books that we call the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and put them in order. So this is not just someone that's lightweight. This is Ezra. Please read.
And all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month.
Verse 3.
And he read therein before the street. That was before the water gate, from the morning until midday.
Now, he read from morning to midday, probably about 3 hours worth or more. He read from the Torah. These are people that have been coming back from captivity, whom they have seen God diminish their people. And now God is showing his mercy. But in order for them to stay right with God, they got to respond to him. And what does Ezra do? The best way for you to respond is not just to hear the trumpet, but hear the trumpet behind the trumpet. Please read.
Before the men and the women and those that could understand.
Mm-hmm.
And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law.
And the book of the law is the Torah. Please read.
And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood.
Now, when we think of pulpit, we usually think about stuff that's in church, but that's called Migdal. Migdal is a tower. They had built him a tower to stand up on so he could be seen. Please read.
Which they had made for the purpose.
Go down to the next verse because they got a lot of names here. Kaimathiah, Urijah, and people don't really care about Mishael and Pedaliah. So read verse 5, please.
And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people.
Now, don't get me wrong. I like this verse because it gives you background, all those names, but I'm moving for the sake of time. So it says, Ezra opened the scroll in the sight of all the people. He didn't do it in a clandestine manner. Please read.
For he was above all the people.
Yes.
And when he opened it, all the people stood up.
They stood up with reverence to the mighty word of God. Please read.
And Ezra blessed Yahweh, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen.
Yes.
With lifting up their hands.
Lifting up their hands to the air, to the mighty God of heaven. Yes, they did. Please read.
And they bowed their heads and worshiped Yahweh with their faces to the ground.
And they worshiped, they bowed their head because they knew where they came from. Here they are able to come back to their land from Babylon with the graciousness of the one in charge there? Yes, please read.
Also, you want me to read all these names?
No, Jeshua, Benaiah. No, but I want us to go to verse 8. Whenever we go through names like this that I'm skipping, I like to look and see who these people are. And a lot of times there's a story in the name, but I'm trying to be through within the next 4 minutes. So please read the next verse.
I'll just read it. and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place.
And the Levites, the one that was supposed to teach knowledge, caused the people to understand what Ezra was reading. That was teaching taking place. Please read.
So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense. And cause them to understand the reading.
That's what true teaching is supposed to do. It's supposed to cause the people to understand what they're reading about God's word. That's his trumpet being blown. Not the shrrr. We're talking about the trumpet behind the trumpet. Please read.
And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto Yahweh, your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept.
Listen, this is Yom Teruah. The word of God is coming forth. The people, they have already had the trumpets blown, because you can't tell me he has not followed that part, although you're not reading it right here. These people are hearing the word of God, and they know what they've done. They know what is going on. That's why they're weeping. That's why they're crying. But he's saying, don't weep. This is the day of rejoicing. You blow the trumpets on the day of rejoicing. Rejoice over God's Torah. Rejoice over God's instruction. For in it is life, in it is protection, and it is the judgments that you can live by to protect you from God having to break forth on you and to keep people from doing things to you. Rejoice, rejoice. Don't weep. Please read.
For all the people wept when they heard the words of Torah.
Verse 10.
Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet.
Go your way and eat of your abundance. Drink. You can have some wine. Drink the sweet. Please read.
And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared.
Those that are poor, give them something to eat. Please read.
For this day is holy unto Yahweh. Neither be ye sorry. For the joy of Yahweh is your strength.
Yom Teruah is a day when the family can respond to the call of God's trumpet. You can call to God, you can respond to God when he gives instruction, when he shows you how to live, then you can call on him. If you can listen to him tell you how to live, it can protect you from trouble, it can protect you from situations, it can show you how to get out of situations. They read the word of God, and the people responded. Why do you think they were crying? Because we can look and see why we're in the state that we're in, but your heart is in the place that you are listening. Rejoice! Rejoice. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But the trumpet can mean other things to you, but that's when you don't listen. The trumpet can be a victory. The trumpet can announce the king coming together, etc. But in this particular case, on the day of Yom Teruah, the people that we see as we go through, the people were blessed by that. Read the next verse for me, please. We almost through with it, okay?
So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat, and to drink, and to send portions, and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them.
Since I hadn't read one word out of the New Testament, I will read one passage. I did read something out of it. I'm going to stop on this one. I just want us to hear in Matthew 24 and 31. I didn't want to get away without reading one. The Bible says, Jesus is talking about the lad at the end. And I'll read 30 and 31. It says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You there, Ann?
Yes.
31.
And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
I submit to you that the same way he called the assembly together, called the family together, what we call the Old Testament, in the same way that he announced victory whenever they would blow the horn and remember him, in the same way that they would hear instruction, in the same way that they would hear victory, in the same way that they would honor him as king, is the exact same thing that we see happening here whenever you see the Lord saying he's coming. And they're blowing the trumpet. It's the day of victory. It's the day of being called together. It's the day of joy. It's the day of the defeat of the enemies of the Lord. It's the day that we realize that the blowing of the trumpet really means that that's a call to God. And if you've learned how to respond up until then as a family, trust me, it's easy for you to respond then. There is no response coming to him at this particular time for victory. It's only going to be judgment. Yes, I left a lot out, but I believe I did give enough to see that if the family respond to God's call, then God will respond to your call. Yom Teruah is the day of the shofar blowing. It's a special day that's set up to do that. I submit to you that people do call it Rosh Hashanah. There are other things that are being taught about this particular day, but I wanted to emphasize what's important about the trumpet blowing. I believe if we listen to the call of God and listen to his word, we'll be the kind of people that can call on him and get an answer. But we must hear his call. If you don't hear a trumpet, you need to hear his word. And if you're following his word, you shouldn't be in mirth. You should be, I mean, not mirth, but in sadness, but you should be in mirth. If you're in wickedness, you should sorrow and get your mind right because you didn't listen to the trumpet call. Or the call of God and your blood will be on your own head. Father, thank you for your sweet word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your consistency. Thank you for letting us know you're a king. And you want the announcement to be heard. You want your word to be heard. And you want us to respond. Help us, I pray, to look at these passages that we see and see what you were doing, how you did it, and how this information is supposed to affect us. How those people on that day of the blowing of the trumpets, they listened to your word. They made sacrifices for sins. They made sacrifices to be at peace with you and devoted themselves to hearing your word and honoring your word. And in doing so, you allowed them to have a feast, a real feast of mirth and gladness because you are supposed to be our strength when we have joy. I ask you to do that for us in seeking truth. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.